Jesus' name, amen. But I ask a question. What if the Word of God wasn't really passed down to human writers? What if they just, each one, like we can look down and we can say, what if Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Luke, David, and all those different people just wrote what they thought they saw? If they wrote down, this is what I heard the others talking about, or this is what I, when I read what Moses wrote, if I'm Peter writing in the New Testament, this is what I think he meant. What if we gave our own interpretation? What if the disciples who did write, the ones who witnessed, they got together? This is what I think Jesus was just talking about today. When he talked about the Mount of Olives, when he was talking, giving us the Beatitudes, this is what I think he meant. Have you ever played the phone game? We have a quick video of what could have happened, and this is I apologize for the poor filming of this. I didn't do it, but it looks like college age students passing along something from the very beginning. I think it's maybe 7 or 8 students. Watch how it changes. You can watch how the communication changes drastically throughout this. It's only a couple minutes long.
Really?
Okay, so what do you think it is? Okay. And let me get kind of a picture of what the word was, or the sentence was.
Okay. I rode the bike and fell. I don't know where that all came in, but that's what happens if people give their interpretation of things, and if they pass something along, that would be what would happen if God did not give his word and people just kind of wrote down their viewpoints of it. Sure, if you bring back the PowerPoint, that would be good. But where did the communication go wrong in that? And again, we could watch it along that, but imagine over 2,000 years when Moses wrote the first 5 books, the Pentateuch, we know that as. And then things progressed, and they try to tell, again, stories that they heard. If Moses was not inspired, we know that Moses wasn't there for creation. Adam and Eve were the first two. Moses was nowhere around. And if he waited until this is what was passed down, the story would have been twisted greatly, much worse than what it was in that video. So make sure you have your notes out, and you can follow along here with me. But we're going to look at some different things here this morning. First is the definition of inspiration. And I want you to understand that we believe that inspiration is very, very important. The word inspire comes from the Latin inspiratus, and it literally means to breathe into. Okay? It means for to breathe in the life, if you would. It's used twice in the King James. One is in Job chapter 32, and it says this, verse 8, "But there is a spirit in a man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding." So Job is saying, God breathed into us our understanding. I have the 2 Timothy passage up here. It's in your notes as well. But it says all scripture. I have the word all underlined. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And I would really encourage you, if you have not memorized that verse, memorize it. Commit it to memory. If you did the memorization program that we did last year, that was one of our verses. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's given by the inspiration of God. And I'd, again, like to see us memorize that. And the word for inspiration in the Greek, and again, I remember this word from Bible college. It was very simple. And one of the first Greek words that we learned was theopneustos. Theopneustos, and it literally meant theos is the word, Greek word for God, and it means God breathed. And I remember one of my theology professors, Dr. Gibson, just kind of illustrating that, and he said, when God created the world, he just simply said, world, and the world came in. Now, he was just illustrating that because God didn't speak probably in English, so he didn't probably say world. And when he spoke to men, he just said, word. And they wrote down exactly what God intended. The word of God is God's word breathed out to man. Very, very important for us. So inspiration is really the process of a human being writing down under the direction of the Holy Spirit exactly word for word what God intended. So that's a definition of inspiration. God breathed it out. God breathed out his word. Second thing is what inspiration is not. There's two things that I have in here, and you can just mark them down. The first thing is it is not revelation. Revelation is God acting alone in unveiling truth to people, unveiling truth to man. Uncovering is another word for what revelation is God uncovering. So when we open the Word of God, God will reveal to us some of the things He intends. When we're walking in the Spirit of God, if there's sin in our life, He's not going to do that for us. If we have known sin in our life and we come to the Word of God, He's not going to be giving us that revelation. But it's 2 Corinthians. You might want to write this note down, verse down. I'm sorry, I should have had this up on the screen. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10, it says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God." So the Holy Spirit, through his ministry, we'll take the Word of God as we study it, as we read it, and He will reveal to us what God intends it, because the Holy Spirit, it says here, I love this, He searches everything. He searches the depths of God. You ever met people who just seem like they walk with God? It seems like you come into their presence, you feel like you're just talking to the Lord as well. I mean, they just seem so holy and so righteous and pure. Those are people that I believe God is revealing, and they're spending time as a student, not just simply reading the Word of God, but studying it. So it's not revelation. It is also not illumination. And again, people get those mixed up. That's why we're saying what they're not. This is the Holy Spirit, God through the Holy Spirit, giving us understanding. It's a little bit different than revelation. God will reveal to us His truths. But here, illumination is God illuminating our minds, allowing us to see what is intended in Scripture. Write this passage down, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 to 14. It says, "And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truth to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The Holy Spirit teaches us and instructs us. There are some that teach that not every section of the Word of God is inspired. Not every section of the Word of God comes from God. It is man's interpretation. But we as Christians believe in what is called the plenary inspiration. And again, this is one of those words that we had in theology. By the end of the semester, we probably had 500 words, 400 words that we had to memorize. And I remember this was on the final exam. What does plenary mean? It means full or complete. We believe in the plenary inspiration of the Word of God, that it's full, that God gave us everything that he intended to give us. It's complete. There's nothing that needs to be added to it. And as we put up here, there are no particular parts of Scripture that are more or less God-breathed than other parts. We see John 3:16 held up at football games and baseball games, and we think, man, that's a verse everybody knows. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's no more inspired than the Psalm 23 when we say, the Lord is my shepherd. Or it's no more inspired than a verse that we might read and think, man, I never really even paid attention to that verse before. I never really saw it. John 3:16, because it's famous, is not more inspired than those verses that we don't know. We believe in the full, complete inspiration of the Word of God. I found my notes from theology as I was preparing this. Let me just, three things that our theology teacher put. He said, each and every letter is inspired. Each and every letter is inspired. He says for this in Matthew 5:18, for righteousness. Truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, they're not a jot, not an iota, nor a dot, or a jot or a tittle, it says in the King James, will pass until all the law is accomplished. So he's saying, there's not a mark in Scripture that I originally gave that's not inspired for me. So every letter is inspired. Number two, the composition of the origin is inerrant, meaning without error. When God gave the original, now we have a bunch of different translations. We have the English Standard. We have the New American Standard. We have the King James, which was the translation. People who are really King James Version people believe that that's the original version. It's not. It's a translation of the original. But we believe that when God gave the original text, when he breathed it out to the human writers, it was inerrant. There was not an error. God did not make any mistakes. He gave us exactly what he wanted to give us. And then the third thing is the composition itself is irrevocably authoritative. Now, those were in my notes. Irrevocably, you don't have to write that stuff down. But what he is just saying here is the Bible needs to be our authority. Not human teaching, not human understanding, not human experience, not human reasoning. If we have a question, we go to the Word of God, and if there's a difference between what humanity is teaching and the Word of God teaches, who has the authority? The Word of God. That's right. That's what this is saying. Our theology teacher was just reminding, if you have a question, the Word of God is your authority. You don't listen to any other authority. It's the Word of God. So we have the definition of inspiration, what inspiration is not, and then methods that are used by the Holy Spirit in inspiration. And again, I have these in your notes, but letter A is direct revelation. This is information that God wanted the writers to get that was not known until that point. When Moses wrote creation, no one knew it. Only Adam and Eve were the only ones that knew what happened. When God sat down or spoke to Moses, he's revealing to him things that no one could comprehend. And I've heard people say this, and it's always interesting. People said, well, Moses, there's no way that Moses could have known what happened back in creation. He wasn't there. Well, you know what? What else Moses didn't know because it hadn't happened yet? Moses wrote about his own death. Do you ever think about that? Moses wrote about his own death because God revealed that. So God was able to take Moses back hundreds of years and show him what happened in creation, as well as look ahead, Moses, and this is how you're going to die. And it wouldn't have been too exciting to have to write that, but God clearly spoke. And I don't have this verse in your notes, and I apologize. I had all these things that I wanted to put in, and I kind of skipped. Write down 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is, the word inspiration is not used here, but the description of direct revelation is here. Peter writes this, he says, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. In other words, man doesn't sit down and make it up. There's no one who's sitting down and writing down what they saw in their own words. Verse 21 says, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That is direct revelation. The Holy Spirit gave these men exactly what God wanted them to write. An amazing, amazing process. So it's direct revelation. Second, we have known data. And this was beneficial. They were writing from things that they saw or read. So the first thing we have down was existing documents. Even Jesus in his life, in his ministry, quoted from the Old Testament. From existing documents. Jesus would say, thus says, Isaiah said, or Moses or our prophets would say this. Many of the writers in the New Testament quoted that way. And passages from the Old Testament. Existing documents. The second was personal observation. The Holy Spirit allowed them to give their interpretation, and not interpretation, but their story of how things occurred that they observed, not with any mistakes in it. But think about Moses' account of the Exodus. Moses was there, and God allowed him to write what was there. The apostles, the witness of Jesus' ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John didn't even call himself John. John said, the disciple that Jesus loved. He didn't say it was me. If it had been me and I was Jesus' favorite, you would have been certain I would have said, when Jesus and I sat down, this is Ron speaking, when Jesus and I sat down, he called me the one he loved, I would let you know that it was me. John didn't do that. John was very humble. But these writers of the New Testament shared what they saw. And God permitted the writers to use common sense along with this. Think about the visions that he gave to Daniel, the visions that he gave to Isaiah. Those were things that they experienced, and they didn't always understand it. Daniel didn't have any clue what he was writing about in the end times, but God revealed it to him. And he just wrote down what God told him. Amazing, amazing process. And then number four is the theories of inspiration. And again, I have these in your notes. But write down what this is. I have in your space for this. The liberal views. These are the ones who don't believe much about Christianity. And this is, liberal views have been around for centuries. But they believe the Bible contains God's word. The Bible contains God's word. What they believe about illumination is that illumination is not from the Holy Spirit, that men just can learn things, and it differs from place to place and person to person, that the Holy Spirit has nothing to do with teaching us the Word of God. It's just what I think, as I'm sitting over here reading it, and Bill's sitting over there reading it, I'm illuminated by my own wisdom. And Bill is looking at something completely different, and it doesn't come from God, it doesn't come from the Holy Spirit, it just is based on current circumstances. The second thing is that the intuition of men, they find truth. Now get this is what they taught. People can find truths amidst the myths and the legends in the Bible. They won't say you're going to find it among the truths of God's word, but the Bible contains truths, or myths and legends. You know, the whole thing about Noah and the flood, that never really happened. God was just telling us a story, or man is telling us a story that's not true. But you might find a glimpse of truth in there that maybe trying to think of something we would learn from Moses or from Noah is keep loving people until they turn their back on you. You know, Moses or Noah kept trying to reach out to the people of his day, but they just kept refusing to obey. Maybe that would be a glimpse of a truth that you might find in that. Okay, so the liberal views just deny the word of God. Neo-orthodoxy. Now, what in the world is that, Ron? I want you to think of it this way. I want you to think of liberalism over here. Liberalism is over here, and they just deny the word of God. They don't believe in Christianity at all. And then to the far right is orthodoxy or conservatism. That's where you and I are. We believe the Bible. We are fundamental. We are traditionalists. We are historic. We believe historical facts. So we have the liberals over here, Christianity, orthodoxy over here, and then there's this thing called neo-orthodoxy, which was really began back in the early 1900s by Karl Barth. Karl Barth was a Swiss theologian. He was brought up under the liberal teaching, and he denied that. He didn't want that to be what he thought was true. So he taught something called neo-orthodoxy. Neo, if you look the word up, means new or modified. You know, there's a lot of new modifications of Christianity today. There's a whole group of people that tell you God didn't mean that homosexuality is wrong. God never intended for anybody to teach that abortion is wrong. It's my body. I can do what I want. There's all kinds of different neo-modernized theology. And I want to tell you, anytime somebody adds neo to Christianity, it's wrong. It's stepping away from what God's taught. So Karl Barth has come along, and he tried to move a little bit towards Christianity, but didn't get very close. And this is what he taught. He said the Bible becomes God's word. The Bible becomes God's word. It's simply man's interpretation of the words and actions in the Bible. So the Bible's not inspired by God. It's just a human document, but we might find some parts that might be helpful, but they're not true. There's no redemptive history. And as I put up here, they teach science and reason over faith and trust. And then what is our belief is the Christian views. Let me just go through these here quickly. The verbal dictation of God's word to man. God did that. God verbally dictated to man what he wanted them to write. The second is that all concepts of the Bible, of the word of God, are true. There's not one point, and someone questioning neo-orthodoxy said, because they questioned some of the history of the Bible, and they said, if God was wrong in anything, especially with history, something that we can either disprove or verify, if he was wrong in history, how can we trust him in doctrine, which we can't testify to and prove? So God's word is either right completely or it's completely wrong. We believe that the word of God is true in every section. And then the third one is we believe in the verbal and plenary, the whole inspiration of the word of God. It is complete now. I trust that you're grateful for that. Again, this was in some ways a theological class, a Bible seminary class lesson for us. But I believe it really needs to be the fundamental thing of the basic thing of what we need to study, what we need to learn as we move on. Next week, we will be looking at the days of creation. But if God was wrong about that, if God didn't inspire that, how do we know? We could believe in evolution. But God tells us this is what happened. God's word is God's word. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 18 and 19. Many believe this is the main credential for inspiration in God's word. Hebrews 6, it says, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, so we who are fled for refuge might have strong encouragement to hold fast to the hope set before us. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul. The word of God. It is our anchor. It is our steadfast hope that he's not lying to us. that what we read is not really God's word. In that song, The Basics of Life, that we listened to, it said, the newest rage is to reason it out. After all, man is a god. That's the philosophy of today. You can be your own god. You make your own truths. I want to tell you, the word of God is the voice of God. So as we go through life, as we go through this series, this is kind of our building point. The word of God that we're going to be studying is inspired from God. It is God's word to us today. I changed the last song. Some of you might know it. We've sung it before. But I just left a song from last week, Our God Reigns, in the bulletin. But I'm changing it to Michael W. Smith's song, Ancient Words. So if you know it, sing it. I'll let you stay seated. But just listen to the truths of this. This is exactly what we've been talking about and what our series will be.
Ancient words ever.
we're going to let you go. We're going to go have our fellowship time. And then after the fellowship, we'll come back and have our business meeting. And then we'll do Sunday school, if that's okay, Bill. If some people feel like they need to go, it's kind of looks like a, what did you call it? A white rain. It's kind of what it looks like right now. So I'm trusting that the roads aren't going to be bad. But let's go over for a time of fellowship. And then we'll come back in about 15 minutes, have our meeting. That won't last long. And then we'll let Bill do a Sunday school class. All right. Thank you.